کلیانی واچم دانپتے بھوان تھانیان تریپیامی مارتیا پراپیا یتھامرتام دھریتراشٹرا اوواچا یتھا بھرتی کلیانی واچم دانپتے بھوان تھانیان تریپیامی مارتیا پراپیا یتھامرتام دھریتراشٹرا اوواچا یتھا بھرتی کلیانم واچم دانپتے بھوان تھانیان تریپیامی مارتیا پراپیا یتھامرتام Dhritarashtra said, Yatha, as Vadati, speak, Kalyanim, auspicious, Vacham, words, Dan, of charity, Pate, O Master, Bhavan, you, Tatha, so, anaya, by this, natripyami, I am not satiated. Maritya, immortal, prapya, attaining, yadha, as if, amritam, the nectar of immortality. Translation. Dhritarashtra said, O Master of Charity, I can never be satiated while hearing your auspicious words. Indeed, I am like a mortal who has obtained the nectar of the gods. Tathapi sundrita somya hridi nasti athe chale putranuraga vishame vidyut sudhamani yatha. Even so, gentle Akrura, because my unsteady heart is prejudiced by affection for my sons, these pleasing words of yours cannot remain fixed there, just as lightning cannot remain fixed in a cloud. Who can defy the injunctions of the Supreme Lord, who has now descended in the Yadu dynasty to diminish the earth's burden? Purport. Naturally, we would like to ask Dhritarashtra, if you know all this, why don't you behave properly? Of course, this is exactly Dhritarashtra's point. He feels that since events have already been set in motion, he's helpless to change them. In fact, events have been set in motion by his attachment and sinful propensities, and therefore he should have taken responsibility for his own acts. Lord Krishna clearly states in the Bhagavad Gita, Nadate kaschichit papam, the Supreme Lord does not accept responsibility for anyone's sinful activities. It is a dangerous policy to claim that we are acting improperly because of destiny or fate. We should take up Krishna consciousness seriously and create an auspicious future for ourselves and our associates. Finally, one may argue that, after all, Dhritarashtra is involved in the Lord's pastimes, and is actually his eternal associate. In answer to this, we may say that the Lord's pastimes are not only entertaining, but also instructive. And the lesson here is that Dhritarashtra should have acted properly. That is what the Lord wanted to teach. Dhritarashtra claims that Krishna came to relieve the burden of the earth, but the earth's burden is precisely the improper behavior of its inhabitants. So let us take the lesson the Lord wants to teach here and be instructed for our benefit.
Om Ajnanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Ajanulambita Bhujo Kanakatavato Sankirtanaya Kapitaro Kamalaya Taksho Vishwambaro Dvijavaro Yugadharma Palo Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karunavataro Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasati Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Dhritarashtra said, O Master of Charity, I can never be satiated while hearing your auspicious words. Indeed, I am like a mortal who has attained the nectar of the gods. Even so, gentle Akrura, because my unsteady heart is prejudiced by affection for my sons, these pleasing words of yours cannot remain fixed there, just as lightning cannot remain fixed in a cloud. Who can defy the injunctions of the Supreme Lord who has now descended in the Yadu dynasty to diminish the earth's burden? In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna has said, Bhogaishvayam prasakthanam tayapahriti chetasam That for those who are too much attached to material opulences and sense enjoyment, the resolute determination for devotional service cannot take place. Here we find a very clear, illustrious example of this most important philosophical principle. Dhritarashtra was very learned, and by his nature, he was actually an exalted soul. Dhritarashtra, as far as his birth, he was one of the sons of Vedavyas. Therefore, he was actually a descendant, a direct child of Shaktivesh Avatar, of Lord Vishnu. And from his very birth. He was, along with his brothers, who were both illustrious, great devotees of the Lord, Pandu and Vidura, they were taught and trained by the greatest Mahajan, Bhishma. He was educated in the finest, most noble schools. He had much association directly with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here we find a person. He had the association of Bhishma. He had the descendancy of Vedavyas. He had all the facilities to be a perfect human being. But because of attachment to bad association, everything was spoiled. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he spoke to Murari Gupta at one time. He actually manifested his Varaha Rupa in the house of Murari Gupta. And he was explaining that my devotees are so dear to me that anyone who offends my devotee must be vanquished. Even if that person happens to be my own son. And he gave the example of Narakasura. What happened is, or Bhomasura, when Varahadev lifted the earth from the depths of the ocean, the causal ocean. At that time, he impregnated the earth, and Mother Earth gave birth to his own child. And by the grace of Lord Hari, he was given proper education. He was trained to be very pious, very religious, charitable, to perform all religious sacrifices. He was a first-class human being. But somehow or other, his son made friendship with King Vena, who was very evil. And due to attachment to that friendship, all of his good qualities became covered by envy and pride and lust and greed, an illusion. And he became demoniac. And ultimately, his own father, Krishna, had to come and kill him. Krishna is not so concerned with our birth. He's concerned with the quality of our life. Prahlad was the son of a demon, Hiranyakashipu. And yet, the Lord, in the form of Narasimha Bhagavan, came to protect him under every circumstance. And Bhoma, or Narakasura, he was the son of the Lord himself. But because he behaved improperly, because of the quality of his life was harmful to others, the Lord personally came and killed him. So we should know that Krishna is not very much concerned with our birth. He is concerned with the quality of our life and the nature of our consciousness. And here we find Dhritarashtra, the son of Vedavyas. That means the son of Vishnu, Bhagavan, Avatar. And he had every opportunity to be the best person. Bhishma was the most honorable, noble, pious, and religious man on earth. And he was personally spoon-feeding them and training these three children. But somehow, Dhritarashtra, because of affection for an evil person, a materialistic and greedy person, all of his good qualities were lost. And we find here that Dhritarashtra is preaching to him. Akrura. Akrura is preaching to him. Such good advice. First he's explaining to him the nature of the truth, and then he's very severely chastising him from deviating from the truth and giving him the proper advice of what to do in this situation. And Dhritarashtra replies to Akrura that, O master of charity, that means what you are giving me, these words of transcendental knowledge, is the topmost of all charity.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also preached like this. Bharata bhumite hoila manusya janmajar janma saratika kara para upakar.
That anyone born in this land of India who is given the right, the heritage, and the exposure to the highest truths of Sanatana Dharma, it is their duty to give the highest charity to others by delivering this message. The greatest welfare work is to distribute transcendental knowledge by which a person can perfect his life. So Dhritarashtra accepts that everything Akrura is saying is true, that he's truly his best friend and well-wisher, and he's giving him freely the highest and most precious of all charity. And Dhritarashtra is saying, I can never be satiated while hearing your auspicious words, because you are speaking the truth. You are repeating the will of Bhagwan. I can hear forever these sweet, lovely words of yours. And he says, indeed, I am like a mortal who has obtained the nectar of the gods, because transcendental knowledge is the sweetest, purest nectar. It is the nectar of the gods. Somaras is a nectar materialistic people may want to enjoy, but all it can do is just increase your sense perception to give you a higher limit of temporary sense enjoyment. But when we hear the absolute truth, this is a nectar that can give us immortal, eternal joy and bliss. Dhritarashtra is actually taking a humble position that I'm so undeserving. You are so merciful and kind upon me. I am like an insignificant mortal, and you are giving me what is meant for the gods. Transcendental knowledge. You are so kind, and I am so fortunate. But even so, gentle Akrura, because my heart is prejudiced by affection for my sons, your pleasing and pure words cannot remain fixed there. Just as lightning cannot remain fixed in a cloud. Beautiful example. Lightning illuminates, gives light, dispels darkness. But lightning flashes and then goes away. So similarly, your words are illuminating my heart with transcendental knowledge and pure direction, but it cannot remain in my heart because of my attachment to my sons. Sometimes we sit in Srimad Bhagavatam class and we hear the words of Krishna and we feel, yes, this is the truth. I want to surrender. I want to give up my envy and my pride. Really, I'm going to be a good devotee now. I'm going to strictly follow the principles of my Guru Maharaj and be a humble servant. But then, by the time we go to the bottom stair
of Radha Gopinath's staircase. Immediately, we've forgotten everything we've heard, and we're thinking, oh, I have so much to do in my office today, and my wife, I like her very much. And she doesn't want me to come to the program tonight, so I have to make her happy. And besides that, I'm hungry and I'm thirsty, and who is that who said something against me? I must get revenge on them. Huh? You see, we are all in this situation because of our material attachments, because our affection for materialistic people and materialistic enjoyments. Even the truth, it's like lightning. It appears in the cloud of our mind, but then it disappears. We cannot maintain that determination to follow through with what we have heard. Therefore, we must practice and cultivate detachment. And what is the most important detachment that is explained here is attachment to saintly association and detachment from worldly, materialistic association. We should know, in whatever form materialistic, greedy people come before us, they are like plunderers. And affection for them will steal away all of our determination and enthusiasm for devotional service. Whether they be our colleagues at our office or at our school, whether they be our own family members, so-called loved ones, if they are too much attached to material enjoyment, just by being near them and hearing from them and try to please them by enjoying what they like plunderers, they steal away our propensity for devotion to God. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, asat sangatyaga avaishnava achar. You want to be a Vaishnav? You must always avoid association of people who are not devotees. And avoid those association of people who are too much attached to sense enjoyment, even if they are devotees. Association of non-devotees and sense enjoyers must be given up, whoever they may be, whatever relationship they may have with you. And you must associate with those sincere devotees who are honestly striving on the path of Dharma, of Krishna consciousness. And if you simply do these two principles in your life, Mahaprabhu has said, then Krishna consciousness becomes easy. That determination which is required to transcend the temptations of this world becomes possible. Otherwise, it is impossible. Dhritarashtra, because of his holy association with Vyasadeva, Krishna, Bhishma, Vidura, he knew that everything Akrura was saying was correct. He knew that Akrura was really his well-wisher. But when he would think of his son, Duryodhana, all these beautiful instructions would just disappear from his heart. Dhritarashtra knew in his heart of hearts that he was doomed. He's explaining in this verse, who can defy the injunctions of the Supreme Lord, who has now descended in the Yadu dynasty to diminish the earth's burden? Dhritarashtra is admitting that
If anyone tries to defy the will of God, he will be ruined. He will be destroyed. Krishna has appeared in this world to diminish the earth's burden, and he knew that I am part of the world's burden. And he will diminish me and everything I have. It is guaranteed. But still, he could not give up his sinful activities due to attachment to material people. Similarly, we find oftentimes devotees, they know the truth. They've studied the scripture. They've heard from their guru. And they know if they engage in certain sinful activities, they will be punished. They will suffer. But they can't give it up. They're forced. Forced by the modes of nature. At least that is what their justification is. And here it is being explained that Dhritarashtra, he was trying to justify his situation. That already this whole abominable scheme of Duryodhana has been set in motion, and now it's just too late to try to stop it. But this is nonsense. Dhritarashtra could have stopped it at any point. But he didn't have the heart. And Dhritarashtra could have said, as explained here in the purport, that what can I do? This is destiny. This is fate. But man is the maker of his own destiny. Fate is the reaction to our own past and present activities. In this way, the conditioned soul tries to justify in so many ways his defiance against the will of God. But a sincere soul understands that there's no justification. We must simply accept the blame that I'm wrong and I have to do right. The nature of Maya is she wants to create so many excuses and justifications for us to remain in Maya. We want to blame everyone else and anything else for our own misbehaviors, just so we don't give it up. But as long as we're blaming anyone else or anything else, we will never rectify our situation. Dhritarashtra, by saying that this is destiny or fate, is actually blaming Krishna. Sometimes we find devotees are like this. They behave in an improper way, and they say, well, Krishna's in control. So that, and I'm not the doer. Krishna's the doer, so he's done it. Krishna is the supreme controller of all controllers. Not a blade of grass can move without his sanction. He's the ability in man. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani saravasha ahankara vimudatma karata hamiti manyate. The false ego thinks that I'm the doer of activities. So because I'm humble, I realize that Krishna is the doer of activities. So he is the one that arranged by his divine lila for me to engage in this sinful activity. So what can I do? So many ways we try to justify our nonsense. But actually, Krishna is within our heart. And yes, he empowers us to do whatever we can do according to our desire. But we are responsible. Nadate kasyachit papam The Supreme Lord says in Gita that he does not accept responsibility for anyone's sinful activities. You engage in sinful activities, you are responsible, and you have to accept the reaction. There is no justification. And as long as we try to justify, we can never purify or correct ourselves. A devotee is anxious to take the blame even for what he's never done. And a materialistic person wants to give other people the blame even for what he has done. Anyways, because Dhritarashtra was so blinded by affection for Duryodhana, he just could not admit even in the light of knowing that he was going to be ruined. And in the purport it says, finally one may argue that because Dhritarashtra was engaged in the Lord's pastimes and he's an eternal associate of the Lord, therefore, how can we blame him? After all, if it wasn't for Dhritarashtra being so stubborn and so attached to Duryodhana, we wouldn't have the Bhagavad Gita. Nor would the great Mahabharata, the longest and most beautiful poem ever created by man, it wouldn't have been written if Dhritarashtra wasn't such a stubborn rascal. Huh? Bhagavad Gita is the crest jewel of all scriptures. It is a summary study of all the Vedas. And it is considered to be the most universal, precise, and inclusive scripture in all the earth. And it begins, Dhritarashtra Uvacha. He's the first person to inaugurate the speaking of the Bhagavad Gita. He has a very prominent and important position. And the whole Bhagavad Gita was spoken because of Dhritarashtra's stubborn attachment to Duryodhana. So we may say that actually Dhritarashtra was obviously like a puppet in Krishna's hands to be so stubborn just so that all of these wonderful instructions could be revealed to humanity for all time to come. And that may be true. But still, in the Lord's pastimes, he's always trying to teach us a lesson. And sometimes he even uses an exalted soul like Dhritarashtra to teach a lesson to the world. And that lesson is meant for you and me. That if we keep attachment to materialistic association in this world, and we have too much affection for that, then despite so much good instruction, despite so much good sadhana, we will still be bewildered and we will not be able to advance properly in Krishna consciousness. Niskintanasya bhagavadvajano mukasya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said that for one who is desiring to cross over this ocean of birth and death, to associate with people too much attached to sex life and material enjoyment, it is like drinking deadly poison willingly. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that if you're thrown into a pit of deadly poisonous snakes, it's not so bad. Because what can the snakes do? They can kill your body. Your body's going to die after some time anyway. No, not much loss. But by associating with materialistic people, the poison goes right to our very heart. It goes to our very soul and pollutes our consciousness. And that pollution can have deadly effects to our spiritual propensities for many, many, many births. Therefore, Gauranga Mahaprabhu told us, better to be in a pit of deadly snakes than to be in the intimate association of worldly people. And this is so much emphasized, but yet why? We don't take it seriously. Because we don't want to hear it, because of our attachment. So many times we hear the instruction of the Lord, but when it's something we don't like to hear, we say, well, that's a detail. It's not really very important. After all, Krishna's in my heart, and he knows my motives, and he knows how wonderful I am, so he will forgive me. If we're serious about Krishna consciousness, we have to stop justifying our nonsense. We have to be serious. Even in the Western world, there are so many sayings, show me who you associate with, I will tell you who you are. Srila Prabhupada used the example, if you put an iron rod in fire, it becomes red and hot like fire. All the qualities of the fire are absorbed by the iron rod. You may say, oh, it is not fire, it is still iron, but you touch it. And you will be burned just as if you touched the fire. This is the power of association. And especially those who are in Krishna consciousness, who are meant to be setting a proper example for the people of this world. If we associate with greedy people, with people who do illegal things, with people who are too much attached to sense enjoyment, then, first of all, you are ruining the reputation of your guru's mission. People will think, this is a devotee? These are the types of people they have close relationships with? Huh? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so strict to protect the dignity of the renounce of the sannyas order, that even though Maharaj Prataparudra was a great pure devotee, because he was a king surrounded by queens and maidservants and so much money and so many politicians, he would not even grant an interview with the king for a minute. Mahaprabhu said, no. Worse than drinking poison. And if you ask me again, I will leave this place. He said, one in the renounced order of life, it is like a white cloth. And if there's any spot on a white cloth, everyone will say, ha, look at that spot. And it brings condemnation to the renounced order. Not just the person that is deviating, but people's, in general, their faith in spiritual leaders is disturbed when they see discrepancy. So when we take to Krishna consciousness, when we put on the Kantimala and the Tilak, when we take any type of responsible position, we are representing the whole Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. We are representing our guru, our param guru, and all the acharya's mission. And what we do, people will see that we are doing it as representatives of the mission. Whether we are or not, they will see like that. Therefore, we must be very meticulous about our behavior. And we have to be very honest and truthful as well. It is very important. So for this reason, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not meet King Prataparudra.
Niskinchanasya bhagavad bhajano mukasya param param jigamasor balasavirasya.
No, you want me to drink poison. You want me to disgrace our mission. I will not. Even though, Mahaprabhu said, he may be a pure devotee and a sincere, humble servant of the Lord, because he's the king and he's associating with all politicians and ministers and all sorts of material wealth, I cannot see him. And this is the standard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established. So therefore, we must take this standard very seriously to our heart of hearts. For our own spiritual advancement and as a service to all humanity so that their faith in Krishna consciousness can be pure and strong, we must behave responsibly. We cannot justify Maya. And if somehow or other we fall into Maya, we should not. If we try to justify it, we can never get out of it, birth after birth after birth, until we admit, I'm wrong, I made a mistake, I'm fallen. Krishna, save me. Vaishnavas, please help me. Then you can easily be delivered, however abominable the offense it may be. But if we do not admit, and we try to justify, then even Krishna will not save us. And that was the situation with Dhritarashtra. Even Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, came and pleaded with Dhritarashtra to come to his senses, give up attachment to his son, and be properly disposed toward the Pandavas. But Dhritarashtra was more attached to Duryodhana than he was to Krishna. If we are too much attached to anything of this world, that attachment will create a situation like a cloud that covers the pure light of transcendental knowledge that has been so beautifully given to us by the grace of Guru and Krishna. So from these beautiful and wonderful words of Dhritarashtra, we can understand how important it is, in a very honest, sincere, and humble manner, to learn to take shelter of the association of devotees, and in their company, to hear the glories of the Lord and chant his holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And to be very, very, very careful. Because sometimes, after all, in our preaching or in our business life or family life, we have really no alternative but to have some contact with very materialistic people. In such situations, you have to be extremely cautious, extremely aware of the danger, and proceed with great, great care, and neutralize whatever effects may have infected in your heart by very, very strong and pure association with the Vaishnavas. Is there any questions? Yes, Paramahamsa.
We sometimes see in our spiritual life that, like in case of Dhritarashtra, he was too much attached to his son. So he was not able to take to devotional life fully, and he was not ready to accept the words of Akrura. But in our spiritual life, we see that we have given up in a sort of material attachments, material association, and we are taking to spiritual practices, trying to chant, trying to surrender, but still some degree of sense gratification always remains. Even we see in the devotees who have been 10, 15 years in the mission, still that complete surrender, the feeling of complete surrender is not there. So is it because that we are fearing to surrender, or is it so that at any amount of time, any point of time, we can completely surrender ourselves?
At any moment, if you have that sincere desire, you can surrender and become perfect. But generally, it is a gradual process of purification. 10-15 years is not much time at all. What is this? The story of Mukunda, Mukunda Dutt. He was a childhood friend of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, best of friends, and he used to sing such beautiful kirtans that whenever he would sing, tears of ecstatic love would flow from all the devotees' eyes. Their hearts would be enraptured with feelings of love for Radha and Krishna. But one day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the house of Srivas Pandit, he was giving benedictions to everyone, and he was completely ignoring Mukunda. And Mukunda was feeling that, why is my Lord neglecting me? He was actually weeping. He was standing behind a pillar. Why he is not calling me? Why he will not even acknowledge me? So devotees who loved Mukunda very much, they approached Sri Gaurasundar. Mukunda is feeling very heartbroken. Why you do not acknowledge him or give him your mercy? And Mahaprabhu, he became very angry. He said, this Mukunda is a hypocrite. He says he comes that he associates with the devotees and he chants beautiful kirtans and dances with us. And then he goes out and associates with materially minded people who want to defy the form and the personality of Godhead. And he hears from them and he associates with them. He said, I will never show myself to Mukunda again for this offense. And Mukunda could hear all these things, and he began to weep and cry, and he called out, oh my Lord, will you never ever give me your darshan again? And the Lord replied, I will give you my darshan after 10 million births. And Mukunda became so joyful, he began to dance. Only 10 million births. Only 10 million births and I will have the darshan of Lord Gauranga. How fortunate and merciful the Lord has made. He's given me such kindness. And when Mahaprabhu saw that he was so happy that in only 10 million births he would have his darshan, Mahaprabhu immediately embraced him. So what is 15 years? How many years did you go to college so far? Or it's not college, but school. From first standard to the point you are now, how many years have you been in the educational system? 12 years. That's all? 16 years. You've been in the school system for 16 years. And what have you gotten? 16 years of your life. How many hours a day? 6, 7, 8 hours a day, considering your studies and your classes. 8 hours a day. You're involved in the school system for the last 16 years. And what have you gotten? Speak in the microphone, please.
I'm a fool still.
Huh?
I'm a fool still.
You haven't even gotten your degree yet, right? How many years until you graduate?
Six 6 months, coming 6 months.
So that means after 16 years, you're going to get a piece of paper. Ribo, you've given 16 years of your life for a piece of paper.
And here we are speaking about what do you get out of Krishna consciousness. You get an eternal life full of bliss and full of knowledge. Entrance into the eternal Leela of Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world.
If it takes millions of births to achieve it, we should be willing to do. You'll give 16 years for a piece of paper, but if after 15 years you don't have ecstatic love of God, you're thinking, why it's taking so long? You just be a humble servant, and you just follow the instructions of Guru and Gauranga as best you can, and you leave the rest to Krishna. He will give when he decides he wants to give.
As far as our material propensities, yes, they are still lingering in our hearts. But if we sincerely endeavor on the path of Vaidhi Bhakti, gradually they will be removed.
Ragadveshava muktaistu visayanendriyaishiran atma visaya vidhyatma prasadamarigashati.
By following the regulative principles of freedom, one can obtain the mercy of the Lord. And by the mercy of the Lord, when he sees that we are really earnest and serious about following Krishna conscious principles, he removes all attractions and aversions from our heart. So we must simply be very strict, very humble, very honest in executing devotional service, and simply await Krishna's mercy. And whenever it comes, it is perfect. Does that answer your question? Is there any other questions? Yes, Sri Panditji.
Maharaj, we see that Lord Chaitanya was preserved in associating with Maharaj Pratap Rudra. But then, without any inhibition, he associated very intimately with Ramananda Roy. He was also a minister.
Ramananda Roy was a minister, but he was not a king. It was a different extreme. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had different instructive messages that he wanted to relate to the world in different instances. Ultimately, when Maharaj Pratap Rudra gave up his dress as a king and disguised himself as a sadhu, Lord Chaitanya gave him his special intimate mercy and embraced him and filled his heart with divine love. But because he was the king, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used that example to illustrate how important it is not to associate with worldly people. Ramananda Rai, he was a governor. But the level of the intensity of his pure love of God was so high and so intense that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu simply could not control himself from reciprocating with his level of love. In other words, through this incident with Ramananda Rai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to show another example that all these rules and regulations are insignificant in the face of such ecstatic, loving reciprocation. Ramananda Rai in Vidyanagar on the banks of the Godavari, there were all Brahmins around him chanting, and he was on a royal palanquin with all sorts of beautiful silken dress, And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just sitting on the bank of the river as a sannyasi. And when they met each other, they both began to embrace and cry ecstatic tears. And everyone who was around was bewildered that this Ramananda Rai is a kayasta. That means he's actually a sudra who's in the position of a politician. And this exalted sannyasi is embracing and they're soaking each other with tears. So this is a different example. That where there is such intense affection, that all the rules and regulations of social life are dismissed. It's actually a higher teaching that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught by giving this intimate darshan to Ramananda Rai than in the example of Maharaj Pratapa Rudra. One is from a social point of view, from a preaching point of view, from the point of view of remaining pure. And with Ramananda Rai, it was from the point of view of in such level of ecstatic love, all these rules and regulations are forgotten. You understand? Unless we hear from a proper authority who can explain why Mahaprabhu did, at what time, for what reason, then we can be confused. Any other questions? Did you want to make some ceremony for your wife, just for Mary Devi, this morning? After Guru Puja. Today is the birthday of Meru Devi, the blessed and beloved wife of Damodar Pandit, who was such a wonderful devotee for so many years, who remained faithful and fixed in Krishna consciousness through great difficulties. When I first met Meru Devi, she would always want to serve the Vaishnavas. I remember every day, whenever I would come to the temple, she would always bring me some specially made prasad made out of fruit and other things. Every morning she would prepare. She always loved to serve Vaishnavas. And she loved to see the beautiful darshan of Lord Krishna. Very faithful wife. And by the inconceivable will of the Lord, she was given the blessing of cancer of the brain. And we cannot imagine how much pain and suffering she had to endure. But we saw, especially in her last months, she was just becoming more and more humble, more and more detached, never complaining. Whenever I would come to see her, she would sometimes cry that I can't properly receive you. I can't properly serve the devotees that have come. I want to give you prasad, but I'm not able to cook. In this way, she would never complain about her pains to us. She would only complain about her inability to please us and to serve us. She was like this with all devotees. Devamrit Prabhu, you remember? Anyways, no doubt that when a devotee goes through such suffering, we should know that it is an intensive purification given by Krishna, where lifetimes of material attachments are removed through the fire of such tribulation. And earlier this year, she left this world. And we are very grateful and proud for the exemplary manner in which she showed us how to endure the process of dying in humility and Krishna consciousness. Because after all, in one form or other, we all have to go through the process of dying. And when we see a person can leave with such faith and such devotion, it gives great hope and courage to all of us. So we owe her much. And we should all offer our prayers that Krishna is especially merciful and kind to this rare and precious soul. So there will be something that Damodar Pandit will give us the chance to be a part of after the Guru Puja. Haribo, thank you very much. So, Nehru Devi was given by the inconceivable mercy of Krishna a disease, cancer of the brain. How do we say it's the inconceivable mercy of Krishna? These things may come due to past karma, but Krishna only allows to come into the life what is best for that person's purification. So it certainly is his mercy. And if we could recognize that, our life becomes perfect. Anyways, for many years, she was practically incapacitated. But she was always humble. Although quite helpless, she was always just wanting to serve Krishna and his devotees. And Damodar spent several years of his life simply taking care of her, physically, mentally, and spiritually. It's a tremendous sacrifice. He didn't have the funds, the money to make any ornate arrangements with nurses. He was the nurse, he was the doctor, he was the maidservant, he was the cleaner, he was everything. Because he saw his wife as a devotee of Krishna, although he sacrificed years of doing what he wanted for what appears to be like a thankless task. But it is not thankless at all, because throughout the time, Panditji was thanking Krishna for the opportunity to render such sincere service to his devotee. Who is to say that devotees are irresponsible in their family relations? Here we find perhaps the most extreme case of one who is dedicated and responsible in his family setting, but all completely in the mood of service to Krishna and service to his devotee. So on this day we should remember the sacrifice of Nehru Devi's life. She left this world as a Krishna conscious devotee. And Damodar Pandit is living amongst us as a wonderful example of the compassion and the dedication that a devotee has in all of his roles within the world. Thank you very much. And I'd like to thank Sri Dayananda and Radha Priya for allowing us to come to their beautiful house. There's nothing wrong with having a beautiful house as long as you invite everyone to chant, dance, and take prasad. Because nothing is ours. Whatever we have, we should want to utilize it for the upliftment of humanity, the service of God, and the service of his devotees. And I'd like to thank all of you for so kindly and mercifully